This morning, let us turn to the 34th chapter of Ezekiel as God once again speaks of the false shepherds who, in their failing to really care for the flock of God, have in fact scattered the flock of God. And how God still, though, is concerned for his flock and will one day again gather them together, and he will be their shepherd. Verse 23, we come into that part of the chapter where God speaks of his gathering together again of those that have been scattered abroad. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. And I will make with them a covenant of peace, and will cause the evil beast to cease out of the land, and they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. And I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing, and I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessing. And the tree of the field shall yield her fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase. And they shall be safe in their land, and shall know that I am the Lord, when I have broken the bands of their yoke, and delivered them out of the hand of those that serve themselves of them. And they shall no more be a prey to the heathen, neither shall the beasts of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and none shall make them afraid. And I will raise up for them a plant of renown, and they shall be no more consumed with hunger in the land, neither bear the shame of the heathen any more. Thus shall they know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, even the house of Israel, are my people, saith the Lord God. And ye, my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men, and I am your God, saith the Lord. So God speaks of the restoration here, prophetically, of the nation Israel, when he would gather them together again in his land, just before sending that branch of David to be their shepherd. The analogies of the shepherd and the flock are so common in the Bible all the way through. We read these analogies. And of course, the Psalms are full of them, because David himself spent his early youth as a shepherd. And being familiar with the shepherd's role, he wrote of it in so many places in the Psalms, not only the 23rd Psalm, which is such a classic, and of course, a classic as far as using this analogy of the shepherd and his flock as relating to God and his people. But in Psalms like Psalm 100, where he encourages us to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands, serve the Lord with gladness, come into his presence with singing, know ye that he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his sheep and the people of his pasture. And so this idea of being God's sheep and God providing for us and God taking care of us is such a beautiful analogy that we find all the way through the scriptures. But even as there are good shepherds and faithful shepherds, there are also hirelings, or shepherds that are not really concerned with the flock. And in the 34th chapter here of Ezekiel, the Lord is speaking out in the first part of the chapter, woe unto those shepherds who feed themselves and not the flock of God, who are more interested in their own gain and in themselves than they are in really serving the flock of God. I guess you could say there are always those shepherds who, when they look at the flock, look at the coat of wool, and they think about how much they can gain by fleecing the flock. And then there are those shepherds who just have the flock at heart, and when they look at the flock, they just long to feed them and make them strong and healthy and bring them into the green pastures and into the areas of still waters of refreshment, and just have a heart for the flock. And this, unfortunately, is used to make a reference many times in the scriptures to the spiritual leaders, men who are supposed to be leading people in a spiritual sense, but who really seek to feed themselves rather than the flock of God. Now, you say, well, I don't want to be following a false shepherd. How can I know if I'm following a false shepherd or a good shepherd? Well, of course, again, it's very simple. He speaks of the false shepherds here as feeding themselves, so that he's trying to live off the flock. And if you are in a situation where there is that constant urging or pressure for money and for giving and these kind of things, then you know that you're in a false shepherd kind of a situation, who is only seeking for the flock to support him and to feed him rather than he supporting and feeding the flock. It is interesting that in Jeremiah chapter 23, you have almost a total parallel to Ezekiel 34. Now, what is interesting about that is that Jeremiah was several hundred miles away, and he was speaking to the people on the very same subject. In the 23rd chapter, it's a woe to those false shepherds who are serving themselves rather than really seeking to serve the flock, who have scattered the flock of God, who have no real concern for the needy. They've not sought to heal those that were broken and to mend the broken flock or whatever, but have scattered the flock of God. And then in Jeremiah, he said that he is going to bring the flock together again, just like he did here, and he would put over them his servant, that branch out of David, and his name shall be known in that day, Jehovah Tsid Kanu. So speaking of the regathering of Israel, the flock of God, and the true shepherd coming to tend the flock and to take care of the flock. And it's a parallel passage to Ezekiel, but it was being preached at the very same time, though several hundred miles away. It is interesting how that oftentimes the Lord has a message that he is wanting to get across to the people. And that on the same Sunday morning, the Lord will inspire my heart to speak on a particular subject, and I'll find that several other ministers have spoken on basically the same subject. I was on my way to Ventura one Sunday morning, driving from Santa Ana, and I was listening to the radio, to some of the services on the radio as I was driving to Ventura, and I had a sermon all outlined that the Lord had given me for the people, and as I turned on the radio, here the pastor announced his text, and it was the very same text that I had prepared that morning. I thought, my, that's interesting. And as he preached his sermon, I got a lot of good points that I was able to add to my sermon, you know, when I got to Ventura. And after he was through with his sermon, I changed the dials and picked up another church service. And this fellow was speaking on the very same subject. And I realized how the Holy Spirit will inspire many times the same thoughts or ideas in various places, so that you can be separated by miles, and yet God has a message at this particular time that he's wanting to get across, and thus he brings forth the message. Now, this morning after service, a little girl came up to me to greet me from the Sunday school, and she showed me her work in Sunday school this morning, and it was a little piece of paper with cotton balls pasted on it in the shape of a lamb, and the message was God's little lamb, you know. And I, well, all right, you know, God's working in the Sunday school to coordinate with what he laid upon my heart for us here in the service this morning, as we realize God's care and God's concern for us as his sheep. Now, sheep do need a shepherd. God knows that the sheep are one of the dumbest animals in the world, really, as far as their ability to sustain themselves. Most animals turned wild can learn to live off the land some way or other. They can survive, but not sheep. Sheep can get lost so easily. They have no homing sense at all. You take a cat, a dog, or a horse, or whatever, they have a sense of direction, a homing kind of an instinct, but not a sheep. All he has to do is get over out of sight, get over the hill out of sight, and he's lost. He doesn't have the least idea of which direction to go, how to get back home. And thus, sheep are an animal that needs someone to guide them, someone to keep an eye on them. They are pretty defenseless against other types of predatory animals, and thus they need someone to protect them. They don't seem to have either an instinct for water or food, and so they need someone to lead them to their water and someone that will lead them to their food. They don't have enough sense not to go right out into a running stream. If you take a flock to a running stream where there's a swift current, one after another, they'll just go in it and be drowned. And they'll follow each other right in it and be drowned. They don't have enough sense to stay away from the dangers. So they need that shepherd to lead them to pools or ponds of water or to springs of water, and to be careful about the running rivers and all. They're just that kind of an animal that need constant attention, constant care, constant watching over. And surely God knows that we need constant attention and constant care and constant watching over. We just don't seem to have enough sense to have a sense of danger many times. And we just go stumbling right into situations that are so dangerous to us. And thank God we have a shepherd who is watching over and who cares for his flock and is interested in his flock, has a love for his flock. But God spoke out here against these bad shepherds. These men who were the spiritual leaders of Israel and were to be the spiritual leaders of Israel. And God's indictment against them in verses 2 and 3 is, number one, they feed themselves rather than the flock of God. Living off the flock, feeding themselves. Years ago, when the Lord began to lay upon my heart to enter the ministry, my ambition was to be a medical doctor. And I was studying and taking background courses that would prepare me for a career in medicine. My motivations were humanitarian. I had always been a Christian. I'd always loved the Lord. And because I love the Lord, I wanted to help people. And I thought that I could probably best help people by being a good, conscientious doctor, one who really cared, and one who would really seek to help his patients, one who would have a real love and concern. And I was even considering becoming a medical missionary and going out and working in some area of the world where people lacked in medical care. And God began to speak to my heart and began to call me towards the ministry of proclaiming His Word. Now, I looked upon medicine as a ministry and a means to serve the Lord. But the Lord began to impress upon my heart that if I went out and helped people to be healed physically, at best, I was only giving to them temporary help. But if I would go out and help people to be healed spiritually, that I was helping them into eternal health, and that the eternal was more important than the temporal. Thus, the spiritual healing was more important than physical healing. And so I began to change directions for my life. And I began to study to prepare myself for the ministry. And as I was going through this transition, I ran across a passage of Scripture in Jeremiah chapter 3, where the Lord spoke, "And in that day I will give them pastors after my heart who will feed them with knowledge and understanding." And deciding to become a pastor, I thought, "God, I want to be a pastor after your heart, the kind of a pastor, God, that you would be pleased in." And I found that it was one who would feed the flock of God with knowledge and understanding. And then in John's Gospel, chapter 21, where Jesus was calling Peter for his ministry, and said, "Peter, do you love me?" He said, "Feed my sheep." And I realized that the greatest need was shepherds who would love the sheep and would feed the flock of God. And so the emphasis of our ministry has been just that, the feeding of the flock of God, because God knows my heart desires to be a shepherd after His heart and after His purpose. These false shepherds, they fed themselves and not the flock of God. They didn't seek to heal the sick among the flock. They didn't search for the lost. And God said they ruled over the flock in verse 4 with force and cruelty. They sought to lord over the flock of God rather than to serve the flock of God. God pronounces His judgment and His woe against such shepherds. But then God speaks, beginning with verse 11, concerning His own love for the flock and that how He Himself would search for His sheep and would seek them out. And as a shepherd seeks out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and deliver them from all of the places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark days. And I will feed them, God said, with good pasture. I will feed my flock and I'll cause them to lie down. And I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away. I will bind up, the Lord said, that which was broken. Oh, God's love and God's concern for his children, for his people, for his flock. Now we realize as we look at this passage of Scripture that basically its primary interpretation is that of the people of Israel. How that false shepherds had begun to guide these people. And as Jesus said concerning them, if the blind lead the blind, they're going to both fall in the ditch. And the people of Israel were being led by blind spiritual leaders who did not really care for the flock of God, but were only seeking to feed themselves. You remember when Jesus came into the temple, how he became so upset and angered because he found there in the temple of God those that were selling doves and sheep and oxen. And there were tables where men were exchanging money, money changers there in the temple. And he was so ired over this blasphemy that he saw that he took a whip and made a scourge, and he began to drive out the money changers, overturning their tables and driving out those who were selling doves and sheep and oxen. You see, what had happened is that there were those unscrupulous people who were beginning to profit over the fact that people want to know God. And they took that basic instinct in man to know God and began to seek how they could profit off of this desire for men to know God. Now, the priests were working in collusion with these money changers and with these men who were selling the oxen and the sheep and the doves. And they were getting a kickback on the profit. So that if you took a dove in to offer it as a sacrifice to the priest, you could buy a dove out in the street for just a few pennies. But if you brought it to the priest to sacrifice, if it didn't have the little stamp on it, he would look thoroughly at it until he found some little blemish and said, "Can't offer this to God. Look, here's a blemish." And he would refuse to offer a dove unless you had purchased it for about 20 times its price from these fellows who were selling it in the temple. The same if you brought a lamb out of your flock. They'd go through the thing and they'd say, "Oh, here's a spot on it," or "Here's a blemish. Can't offer this. You know, you're going to have to get a lamb from the stalls there." And these guys were selling them at highly inflated prices, gouging the people. Or if you wanted to give some money to God, the priest wouldn't take that pagan Roman coinage. That would defile the temple's treasury. The only money we'll accept is the temple shekel or the temple talent. So these money changers were there, and for about $5, they'd give you a dollar's worth of shekels so that you could give your offering to God in shekels because the priest wouldn't take the Roman coinage. But here were these guys gouging them and profiteering off the flock. And that so upset Jesus, he lost his cool, made this whip, began to drive them out, kicking over their tables, letting the money spill across the floor, getting rid of them. And he said, "My Father's house is to be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you've made it a den of thieves and robbers." He was talking really about the spiritual leaders in that time. who were more interested in profiteering off the spiritual things than they were really ministering to the people. Now, because of this, the spiritual leaders are the ones who began to conspire against Christ to put him to death. And as we read of their conspiracy to put Christ to death, they reason why they felt they had to do it. They said, look, all of the people are going after him. And if everybody goes after him, we're going to lose our jobs. We're going to lose our profit. We're going to have to do something about this fellow, or else we're going to be out of work. And so they conspired to put him to death because he was a threat to their profitable little business of profiteering off of the flock of God. And it is interesting that both Jeremiah and Ezekiel prophesy of this period when these false shepherds, profiteering off of the flock of God, feeding themselves rather than the flock of God, would indeed be the cause for the people of Israel to be scattered. And when they crucified Jesus Christ, the nation Israel was subsequently destroyed and the people were scattered all over the world. In Daniel, which we'll be getting to in just a few weeks now, he prophesies the very day that the Messiah would come. It would be 173,880 days after the commandment would go forth to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. But then he made a very interesting prophecy. He said, but the Messiah will be cut off and receive nothing for himself. Jesus came right exactly on that day, but he was crucified and did not receive the kingdom. But then Daniel went on to say, and the people will be dispersed. And God spoke here, they're going to be scattered, the sheep are going to be scattered, and they were scattered, and God lays the blame upon the spiritual leaders. You have a corrupted priesthood and you'll have corrupted people. And God lays the blame back on the corrupted priesthood, the shepherds, who were feeding themselves and not really caring for the flock of God. But then God said he would take it upon himself in time to gather the sheep back into the land. And as we look today at that which is happening, we realize that we are seeing the fulfillment of this very prophecy here in Ezekiel and in Jeremiah and many other places in the Bible, for we see the people who have been scattered throughout the world have been drawn back into the land of Israel, and they are a nation once again. As God has fulfilled his promise of gathering those that were scattered, bringing them back, and establishing them once more there in the mountains of Israel, even as he has done. Now, the exciting thing is that as God has made these predictions, he also declares that in that day he will be their shepherd, and David, his servant David, or that branch out of David, will come and be the shepherd over the people. None other than Jesus Christ. Now you remember when Jesus was talking with the scribes and Pharisees, he said unto them, I am the good shepherd. And a good shepherd will lay down his life for the sheep. He said, a hireling, when danger comes, will run because he's a hireling. He really doesn't care for the sheep. But he said, the good shepherd will lay down his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I lay down my life for the sheep. But even as he loved the people, even as he loved his flock and laid down his life for us, even so, he is coming again. And he is going to be in that role of the good shepherd. And we, the people of his pasture, and to be led and nourished and strengthened and sustained by him. And this is the glorious experience that we can have today as the flock of God. To be nourished, to be led, to be strengthened, to be healed by his loving touch. Living in a world in which there are so many horrible things happening. A world that is filled with so many scams. Men are desperate. And because they are so desperate, they will reach out to anybody who offers them hope. And there are charlatans who are cognizant of this and holding out all kinds of false hopes to people and gaining followings. But they are charlatans, and they really care not for the people, but they only seek to feed themselves. It is so good to know that Jesus cares for us and he is wanting to minister to us and seeks to show his love to his flock by ministering to them. He has come to serve. Even as he has told those that would go forth in his name to be the servants of all, not to lord over the flock as did these false shepherds, not to rule over them with cruelty, but to love them and if necessary lay down their lives for the flock of God. God help us that we might follow Jesus Christ, that good shepherd. And as the scripture says, in that day, there will be showers of blessing. For you see, it is God's purpose to bless your life. God wants to bless you beyond your capacity to contain it. And when you are following the good shepherd, your life becomes so rich and full because of these showers of blessings that he bestows upon us. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your love for us, for your care and concern for your flock, and that we, dear Lord, can have that joy and that privilege of being just a part of your flock, the sheep of your pasture. And we thank you, Lord, that today we experience thy love, thy healing, thy concern. Oh, Lord, we thank you for the good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep, that we, through his death, might have life. Help us, Lord, to follow after thee all the days of our life, that we might dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've been wandering aimlessly, and you really don't know where you're going in life. You're just sort of existing. You're here. You're not sure why. And you're not sure for how long. Life is just sort of a blur. There's no real definition, meaning, purpose. It's because you haven't discovered the blessing of having a good shepherd. But that's exactly what the Lord wants to be to you. And I would encourage you to go back to the prayer room and just say, Lord, I want to be a part of your flock. I want to be one of the little lambs in your pasture. Lord, lead me. Lord, take care of me. Guide me in the right path. And he'll wash you up. Bind up those broken places in your life. Put on the salve and the healing. Wash the cuts. And he'll begin to nourish you, strengthen you, and bless you. Now, what's so bad about that? Why would you keep running, stupid little lamb? May the Lord be with you and give you just a really blessed week. May you experience those showers of blessing upon your life as you walk in fellowship with Jesus Christ and you experience the love that the Good Shepherd has for his sheep. God bless you. In Jesus' name.